Welcome, welcome into the hive.
So it genuinely feels kind of like coming home a bit or something, doesn't it? It's like, oh, hey guys, okay, now we can relax.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's better the creep you know. You get a lot of response from patrons and they comment and they message and you can see who they are and you know they're enjoying it. But like the people out there who just silently listen to the main episode and never engage, they're murderers.
They're scary. Yeah. I'm scared of them and they're vast. It's
and
a
are
huge
they hate
group,
listening?
They...
Are they enjoying it? Oh, we don't know.
Maybe they have a separate Reddit.
Yeah, I'm just clicking into the Creep Dive Reddit.
Speaking of the Creep Dive Reddit, I hear it's bopping.
Yeah, there's things to say.
Oh, awesome.
I don't know now whether I want to read this.
I think it's better to be a part of it than to know that it goes on without you present.
Better
it's very very pleasant.
Oh, Harry's put up the complete episode guide.
I put that up.
Cassie's put up the complete episode guide. Harry's complete
episode guide. But I posted it.
Well done, you.
Harry just has to give people permission to view it.
He's like the assist and you're the one who just scored the goal. Like, he's just done all the work. He's just brought it all the way up the field and then passed it to you.
We're a team. We're a team.
Ah, so it's been great. The Zooms are going, switching to monthly. We're going to be recording our visual stuff next week. So it's going to be amazing. But this is, I always kind of was like, it would piss me off not to be able to listen to the Hive. So I'm glad of the audio version. Do you know that way? I remember people asking at the start, they were like, like whatever about the video of the Zooms. Can we get the audio?
Guys, separately. So much. But you still have to listen in Patreon anyway. That was the problem. Yeah. People were like, I want to listen to it on iTunes.
Sorry, you're right.
And put my phone away in my pocket. But then it's available to the others.
The others. And the others are not to be trusted.
Not one bit.
I must experiment with this now.
There used to be a way to do it with Patreon. We could give people an RSS feed and they just save it to their phone and you can play it and whatever. Mm. But I don't know. I think it only works with Apple. I don't know how to do it. We'll figure it out.
We will have some investigation because it is annoying.
Or we'll work, sir. One up on Apple Podcasts.
The latest Hive?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. So our youthful producer, a digital native who has been blowing my mind with these little tech facts, says that if you go onto Patreon, you can
say that
Sarah
again.
Just come over here and say it into the microphone.
So you're gonna open Patreon and then go to your subscriptions, the overview page of the Creep Dive, and then it says about tiers and then get audio RSS link, and then you click it and then it gives you the option to open it in Apple Podcast, Overcast or Castro, or to copy the link. So I just clicked Apple Podcasts and then it says add a show by URL and it comes up. You just click subscribe and then it's the latest episode there.
You're a genius.
Wow.
And that's why I'm doing computer science for the Leaving Cert.
Good girl, Sarah.
Thank you.
Do not give away your age, Sarah. That's awesome. Thank you. Fabulous.
So you've teed us up for a disgusting story and I am very excited.
Okay.
I'm saving my next half of my meal to eat
I'm
while
so
listening.
Happy that you have,
a morning bun and more fish paste.
Please don't mix the two.
I think it could be nice.
I really don't.
Like sweet and sour. Salty and sweet.
There's already like saltiness incorporated into that morning bun. I've worked really hard to make sure that's balanced for you.
You didn't fold in a layer of
fish paste. You worked
really
hard to make that something nice. And you are corrupting it with your fish paste.
Sorry.
I mean, by all means, try it.
I'm not going to. Out of respect for the work you've done.
I'm kind of intrigued enough now. Actually, rip off a nice edge there. Give it a go. I think everything is just a vessel for you to eat fish paste with.
It's all just a vehicle.
I don't think it's working.
No.
No, it's not working.
Cinnamon and fish is not a thing for a reason.
It's not working. It's just not
working.
Like, working. I mean, it's totally edible.
Anything's edible if you're brave enough.
She's just slotted another little bit into her mouth.
Delicious.
Oh, into that glory hole that is Jen's mouth.
After that, watching that I was talking about that like a few minutes ago as well. I found, you know, the way I watch a lot of grim shit, but on the internet. But what I've gotten really good at is just before someone dies, knowing when that's
to turn it off
and get out. Or you know, when you know you're about to watch something, I won't be able to forget. Then I kind of have a good sense of that now.
Yeah, the worst is when you just watch and there's no follow up whatsoever. Like the Ice Bucket Challenge, where your mom gets hit with the body of the digger. You know those ones?
Yeah.
Where they filled a digger with ice water and something goes wrong and they just get a smack of head with a full ton of water in a digger. Dead.
100% dead. And there's no follow up. But what I did find then
was what death is. There's no follow up.
But the internet needs a follow up.
Watching your man make that cum mojito was a new low for me. I was like, I am affected by this. That made me really want it. You know, rarely you have things that make you gag. That made me, even now, I feel a bit sick.
I'm worried about myself because I was so unmoved by the semen. I mean, I was enjoying it. This is last week's Zoom live, by the way, lads, in case. And obviously not all patrons were there.
You can watch it back.
I can watch it back. But like, I'm worried about myself because I really enjoyed listening, chatting along.
The only thing that disappointed me was the lack of puns. Like, I just feel like there's so much could have been done with that.
Oh, yeah.
The cookbook and the
semenology.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's fucking gross.
You're so right.
There's definitely
the way it like frothed up.
Could have been the most cum we ever had. Fun we ever had. No. No. I do want to just alert anybody who was there to some kind of further reading on the issue. Shared with me by my good friend Bobby. The benefits of drinking semen with Tracy Kiss. This is a YouTube video, guys. You can go and find all about how Tracy Kiss has incorporated a shot of semen each morning into her routine. It has so many benefits for men and women alike, and I've welcomed it positively into my life.
Well, that's interesting because you know how you remember all the men were just dying.
We were talking about the harvesting. Oh yeah.
Of, you know, hunger and thirst, and you're obviously drinking your own piss during that time. But do you think any of them were like shot of cum as a protein chaser? I guess it would be difficult to muster the energy to have a wank if you were dying of starvation.
Now, I've been distracted because I entered Tracy Kiss semen into YouTube.
Oh, and there is some
top results. Tracy Kiss has fucking cornered the market. I'm sorry, I'm trying.
The most cum we ever had was good.
Thank you. Well, Cassie's face and even her second reaction to it.
Sorry, I'm very tired, but I think we can do better here, guys.
Okay.
Okay. So top result is a pretty recent video from Tracy, 74,000 views. Stockpiling semen to fight the coronavirus. Boost your immune system. Stop corona. We've got vegan semen protein cookies.
Not
packed with natural vitamins and minerals, semen is the ideal addition to a healthy, active lifestyle and often consumed by couples.
Is semen vegan?
We've got a simple semen smoothie recipe.
In the making of it.
Depends how you get it out.
I mean, this is so...
I've now got two visual images because this morning and last night, they're too close together and I can't remember what's happening, but I've the visual image of that man squirting the cow
For the maggot cheese.
For the maggot cheese with the thoughts of a man coming and a smoothie, and it's all just too much.
It's all converged.
It's too much.
On Cassie, especially as you're a person who's pretty much opted out of semen and like. And we've still found you and we're still somehow stuffing it into your face and your life.
There's just no escape from it.
That's true.
What about Tracy Kiss's semen facial?
That I
semen is a natural source of skincare that we can all use to fight the signs of aging.
Your skin, would it not be really like?
I have a serum at the moment.
Aren't serums
that looks like semen? And it,
does it dry and now in I'm, a crust?
I mean, sometimes there'd be a residual crust, but that could just be Seb in the night.
Dripping across your face from a distance.
Oh, this is so good. Okay, I think that I'm going to make the vegan semen cookies.
My God.
As a patron episode special.
Oh my
God. Sure, what else am I doing all day?
But like that. Oh God.
Cock along. Do a cock along.
She won!
We got there.
She won!
That was brewing in you. Yeah. You were in such disquiet.
Oh my God.
It's giving me new life. It was like you had trapped gas and it's been released. Sophie's cock along on Patreon only. I fully support it.
Yes. Please, this is good. I've got tingles down my arms, the like of which I only get from listening to Susan Boyle singing Have a Drink.
We haven't brought that up in a long time.
We haven't brought
time.
Up Subo in ages.
Subo, she's so talented. Smoothies. She's a talentless
wild
melt.
Awesome. Sophie, do I have to edit that?
No.
Please.
No, this is the hype. Anything goes.
Everything goes. Okay.
It's worth paying just to hear the libel alone.
I just need to quickly send myself the cock along video just so I don't forget.
Do you really think you're going to talk someone into offering
publishing
their,
that?
Their
imagine if I got it sponsored.
Danone. I think it's more Yakult.
Yeah, it is.
Il KCI Moody Test.
Oh my God. The ad with Nicole Scherzer says Muller Light. Toga.
Oh, this is so good. All right. I can't believe I'm about to say I think that we're actually going to get less disgusting as this episode goes on.
Aww.
Yes. Well done us. We set the bar so low.
Very low.
Okay. Do you guys know about Dennis Nielsen?
No.
Have you ever heard of him?
No. In relation to?
He's a Scottish serial killer.
No, amazingly.
I know. I feel quite amazed that I never heard of this guy either. He's sometimes known as the Muswell Hill murderer.
No.
Because he did most of his murdering in North London. And in the latter part of his like murdering career, he was in Muswell Hill. And my clickbait headline for this was... Sorry, I just need to let it get it out more. Okay,
let's get it out.
I think
yeah.
It's gone. just say LKCI. No.
Okay. Back in the room. Focus.
Okay, sorry.
Can I just ask? Yeah. Just before you go on, we've been tagged here and just opened our Instagram.
Have we been cancelled?
No, in some sort of molecular cocktail workshop post. How
by the creator of the
creator of the post tagged us.
Molecular
probably because
cocktail.
We've got a giant audience of engaged.
Do you think this is cum related?
I would think not.
Oh, okay, never mind. Oh, anyway, back in the room. Oh, isn't that just a coinkydink?
It's really strange.
I mean, they're an Irish gig.
Huh. Give them a like.
I just made a community post on step by step how to access the.
Oh, good work.
Thank you, Sarah.
You ledge.
Okay, so my clickbait headline title for this was Room to Improve, Jumping the Shark Edition.
Mm-hmm.
This combines some of mine and Cassie's favorite creep dive tangential topics, which is, you know, living in small spaces, maximizing your space, getting the most out of your home.
Sure.
Bringing
the outside in.
Bring the outside in, exactly.
Inside, outside.
I feel like there's some elements of that to this story. So basically, this guy, Dennis Nielsen, is believed to have murdered at least 12 people. Yes,
that's
12 men. But actually, there's a suspected few more even victims. Like, he's even a bit hazy.
Wow.
So he was born in Scotland in the 40s, right? And just a kind of fairly ho-hum enough childhood. Only Dennis, middle child.
Never a good look.
I'm the middle child.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Like, I think he just generally found himself to be like largely ignored in his childhood. And now he did develop like a very close relationship with his granddad, which was nice. His parents divorced. So I think his kind of father figure became his granddad. Mm-hmm. And so the parents divorced, and it was like in the 50s, but I think the mum had quite supportive parents who, like, you know, helped her after the divorce and things like that, because obviously, like, it would have been fairly harshly judged in the society at the time. And so Dennis, middle child, loved going on walks with his granddad, was quiet, didn't have, like, a lot of friends, but was very kind of, I suppose, bit of a dreamer. Might have been into crafting. Mm. I get craft vibes. I mean,
this is like Cassie.
This is Cassie. Mm. Completely.
You're describing Cassie.
Mm. Yeah.
Are you accepting of that?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Cassie.
They lived in this like fairly grim like Scottish town, and I think
a bit like Rathfarnham.
Like
the knock line of the Scotlands.
The knock line of the Highlands. And in the early 50s, when Dennis was still really young, like he was only about 8 or 9, his granddad died of a heart attack when he was out fishing in the North Sea. Very kind of hardy Scottish kind of death.
Yeah.
And he was brought ashore. This really reminded me of our friend with the papier-mâché life-size dolls in the apartment with his parents, where they just never even wondered what was the deal with the doll collection. Do you remember that guy had encountered a funeral procession when he was about 11?
Yes.
And some madzer in the congregation
made him shift it.
Forced him to shift the corpse, essentially. Yes. This really made me think about my kids.
And like just forcing just the kid's head down.
Pushing his head into the casket. Yeah. And thus was born an abiding obsession.
I sort of feel like that's not that hard to believe.
Well, a little cold kiss of some dead flesh.
Kissing a corpse. We've kissed people. It's a specific as fuck feeling.
Guys, you don't have to do everything together. Like last time it was crush. Now it's kissing dead people.
That's funny.
I'm picturing us holding hands and dressed the same. That's weakest.
Bowing
into the casket. But it's made me really rethink bringing kids to corpses. And prior to this, I would have been like, it's a free-for-all. Do you know the way? Like, Irish way.
It's so traumatic.
Well, like, now I'm thinking, fuck, I'm going to be really careful about this.
Yes, Irish wakes are bananas.
Irish wakes are quite bananas. Like, I just fully remember, I don't want to shame my family, but like I'm so positive. I remember one of my mother's brothers leaning on an open casket, holding a drink.
Yeah.
And he misjudged.
That's a real memory.
And tipped part of the drink. Like, you know the way it's half open?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that 100%
happen. These things happen at a wake.
Red wine into the white.
Have you ever been to? And the wake, how long does wake stay in the house?
The country wakes where they're down for days.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But like I always remember going.
Do you ever have to go to a wake? It's terrible. You know, we were talking the other day about going.
You want
to
a nap at a wake?
No, but when you're going to weddings and you're actually meeting the couple for the first time because you've been politely invited.
You don't know the dead person.
Have you ever gone to a wake and you're never meeting the corpse?
Of course, I'm Irish and I would have been related and I would never have met him. Yes.
You're going up and kissing this dead person.
Hello, lovely to meet you.
Oh, French kisses.
No tongues.
What on each cheek.
No topping.
Oh. Very, very accurate.
Well, anyway, these stories have now led me to believe that I should spare my children some
don't
of that.
Don't bring your children to dead bodies.
I haven't yet, and I won't now, I promise.
You'd have to deal with the aftermath, with the talking about it and the
But they still ask questions anyway, so you're not even like avoiding that.
Yeah, but then you can at least
But it's terrifying being the person who has to deliver a potential answer about death to a child. Like once you step into that role, you're like, oh, this is a lot of pressure. This person is looking to me for some answers on this. I said that.
Ask your dad. My mum was brilliant. She used to always just say, I don't know.
I don't even know.
And that's I used to just think
question.
She was stupid. But it was kind of a good response.
I don't know.
Oh, Seb walked in on me doing one explanation recently enough, and he was like, fucking God help these kids. Because I was like, you know, sometimes I'd see a fox though, and I'd think, oh, there's my dad now. He's coming to say hello. And he was like, fucking shut up, Sophie. Anyway, so when it's Dennis's dad, granddad died, they did bring him to the wake, and he was taken in to see his grandfather, you know, for the viewing, and laid out. And he described later, as he gazed down upon the body, his heart beat strongly as his mother told him his grandfather was sleeping, mm-hmm. and that he had gone to a better place, which seems like conflicting kind of messages there. Anyway, I think that was a very key moment in the life of Dennis Nielsen. Let's just say an obsession that grew into almost a hobby, that grew into one of the worst craft projects I've ever encountered.
Oh God.
Was born. So the next like 20 years, he was doing some kind of, you know, just general growing up. He was really resentful towards the remaining members of his family. He felt like really overlooked, often like ignored, was a very solitary child. After he kind of grew up, he realized he was gay, and he was initially kind of confused by this. Pride this month. Was in the mid 50s. Fuck
in
you.
In honor of the month that we're in. Sophie has a letter.
Thank you, Jen.
Unrelated.
So anyway, he was kind of confused by his sexuality, and he had no one to fucking confide in, and it was the mid 50s. So it was like basically still illegal at that point and everything. So, you know, all of it just contributing to his isolation, his sense of isolation. He was very intelligent in school. He, in the 60s, worked briefly in a canning factory, and then he went into catering and trained to be a chef. This will all stand to him later. Oh. And he went into the Army Catering Corps in Aldershot, where I've actually been. So he'd moved down to England at this stage. And he trained away there, got to travel loads at the Army. He later said this was a great period of his life. Not really hard, considering what came next. And it was while he was stationed in Aldershot that he sort of like started to, you know, feel attraction for like some of his fellow soldiers. And like, so then again, he got into the same pattern of isolating, because like he never wanted to kind of like, you know, he was very uncomfortable because he never wanted to be exposed, or, and he didn't, he just didn't really know how to cope with the feelings he was having. So he kind of resorted to just masturbating in private. The whole sexual side of his life.
As opposed.
In public. Or trying to make a relationship.
Or group masturbation.
Or group masturbation.
So I didn't expect you to come back with something.
What, in public?
I sort of just ho-hum.
Oh, right.
He just resorted to doing what we all do.
Well, doing what we all do. But I think that he gave it a considerable more hours than most of us do. Oh. He also developed some like pretty interesting kind of masturbation practices. So one was that like, he obviously had an attraction to kind of like the lithe male form, which wasn't too far off his own. Mm-hmm. And so he discovered...
Removed his auto-fellating.
No, not as permanent a solution as that. But he just like figured out there's a way he could like angle a mirror whereby he could just cut off his head from the top and just see the body and masturbate to himself.
Okay.
Right.
At least he
Yeah, I know. What oh, to have the confidence of Dennis Nielsen.
I appreciate it. At least he's omitting his face.
Yeah.
Less creepy.
So then, anyway, he went on through the army, and his fantasies did start to kind of, start to converge with some more sinister things. But he's kind of like, I think Dennis Nielsen fancies himself as a bit of a like an aesthete, and he's kind of high-minded and got an interest in art and classical music
and things like that.
Okay. So he had kind of like hooked a sexual desire onto this kind of classical painting called The Raft of the Medusa, which depicts an old man, granddad, holding the limp new body of a dead youth as he sits beside the dismembered body of another young male. It's not a painting that, like, you'd immediately be like, hot.
No. Like, you know, it's very small.
That's a small
depiction. I don't think it's life size.
That's not to scale.
This
that's
just a thumbnail.
I mean, on your
Can
screen,
I ask?
It's very
it looks a lot
on.
Like the lying back body is wearing a pair
trainers.
Of trainers. Yeah, Nike Jordans. No,
it does look like that. It looks like a pair of high tops. But anyway, he then finally started to have sexual encounters with real people. First with a woman. Who he kind of decided to try out, I guess, a bit. And but he later found he later stated that he found intercourse with a woman both, quote, overrated and depressing.
Oh, God.
Thanks, Dennis.
Bad for her.
Anyway, he was doing well anyway with his military career and eventually left the military in the early 70s. And by now he was kind of in his 30s. And so he moved down to London and he decided to become a constable in the Metropolitan Police. And so he actually, as a member of the police force, even made several arrests. And he said he enjoyed the work, but he missed the comradeship of the army. And I don't know, presumably all his solitary hours wanking to himself. He began to drink heavily alone in the evenings. And then finally in kind of the early 70s, 1973, he started to kind of actually get out there, start meeting people. This could have even been a turning point for Dennis. Mm. Like, he was started having like casual liaisons with men that he met in bars.
Great.
And he seemed to be kind of seeking a more lasting relationship. The way that Dennis opted to go about the more lasting relationship was unusual, to say the least. So, he found a lovely apartment for himself with a guy that he'd met out and about called David. And they kind of did have a sexual relationship, but according to David in later years, he was like, oh, that kind of fizzled out. But they did decide to kind of live together. And your man Dennis had been left a bit of money by the family, despite being the ignored middle child. And so they found a fantastic, I mean, it had everything. Garden level a flat, we all know, highly sought after. Access to the properties, full back garden, beautiful floorboards, original floorboards in place, just
stunning.
So much potential. Exclusive use of the rear garden. I mean, it's all any of us want. The flat was supposed to be furnished, but upon moving in, it was totally empty. So there followed several months for Dennis and David of redecorating, furnishing the entire flat. Like, such a great
joyous.
Mm. They didn't have Pinterest in the 70s, but I'm sure that there was probably magazine cuttings. Anyway, Dennis they said that he kind of experienced some domestic contentment with David, and they were getting on very well, but things began to become strained and they kind of eventually moved into separate beds, and then they kind of started really seeing other people.
Right.
Now, David said later that, like, Dennis, never a whiff of violence out of him, nothing at all, like no animus in that way. But Dennis did eventually say that he asked David to leave. I think Dennis could see the potential in the flat and he just didn't want to share it anymore.
Right.
So he then, over the next kind of year and a half, sort of formed more relationships. But he was just, I think, finding the men's personalities, their liveliness potentially grating, not what he was looking for in a potential mate. So between 1978 and 1983, he killed 12 men for definite. And he attempted to kill 7 other men. And then, as I said, there's a few other people that he just like is a bit hazy on. Can't quite remember.
How is he killing them?
So he basically would just like befriend them out and about, either at a bar or like maybe meet them just in the streets. Sometimes it'd be like, you know, men who are kind of down on their luck a bit, and he'd be like, come back to mine, like, you have dinner and like we can hang
exclusively
out.
Exclusively my backyard.
You can have exclusive access to the rear of the property. And he said he also was just drinking heavily during all of this time. So anyway, he would basically typically invite them in. They'd like listen to music. He was a big fan of music. And he'd often invite them to listen to music on a pair of headphones. And I'm convinced this is where American Psycho got this from. So he'd like be like, there, listen to some of his faves, included The Who, Tommy. Also really enjoyed playing them, no joke, Tubular Bells, which is the theme song to The Exorcist.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And of yet, then? No... you know, I pretty much always have it like just randomly open in a tab. Then he'd come up behind them with a method that he'd seen in a movie, which was like two ties, and tied between the ties was a very thin but strong wire. Piece of twine or wire, and he'd wrap it around and then twist the ties behind their necks until they lost consciousness, whereby he would then bring them into the bathtub and drown them in the sink or the bath. And then began, like,
how to get rid of the body. Was he riding them after the fact?
Like, often cuddling.
Right.
He would bathe them and dress them and put them perhaps in the bed beside him. Spend some time with them on the bed.
But then when they got cool and cold, was it?
No, all fine. Like, he'd often basically like keep them around and about the place for a good few days. Like, right. Kind of, I would say, decomposition permitting.
Right.
Was probably the rule of the house.
How quickly does a body start to decompose after it's dead?
Well, it can be days.
Do you know who's going to tell us? Andrea.
Oh yeah.
Our CSI specialist who's coming in.
Can't
for
believe we had an expert
real...
all this time.
She's coming in to have dinner with us and tell Can't us all wait. About things.
So anyway, he'd keep them around the place, go sometimes to work, because he was still working. By now he was working in a canning factory, probably canning the holiday paste you're enjoying right there. Mm. And then he'd come home and he'd be like, oh, hiya. Your man might be still sitting up in a chair. They'd watch TV. It was like companionship, and then obviously copious masturbating going on around the place as well.
Okay,
absolutely reek a spooge off this fucking gaff, I'd say. The reek of the gaff over the next 5 years.
So
this is going to get bad, guys.
Okay.
So his kind of ritual was that he'd like hang with the corpse for a while, as I said, decomposition permitting. And then when like it was getting a bit iffy, and he was like, I don't like you around anymore. Mm. You're kind of
crapping.
You're
my...
kind of crapping yourself, and there's gases emitting.
You're just liquid.
Oh, sliding all over the place. Oh, he slid out of the chair. Oh, so then,
pooling.
Right, what he'd do, which is just this fucking boggles my mind, he would often like wrap them up and then put them under those lovely original floorboards in the gaff.
That's the some of them are like a good width.
Perfect
of a man.
Width. Yeah. And you could like, I mean, if you picture it, you could slot them nearly full length down there. And then he'd just kind of bop on about his day. So then like, invariably now, the floor under the floorboards wasn't a long-term solution. That's called putting it on the long finger, Dennis.
Absolutely.
And really, when it comes to home ownership, the long finger is
the
enemy of keeping a good home. You want to stay on top of things. This is house creeping. He's really letting it go.
There could also be a lot of like rats down there that might aid the getting rid of the body.
Sure. I think really the rats weren't interested in helping out.
How many
and
bodies
what was
are we talking?
Happening in, instead of the rats was that a lot of flies were actually
the maggot
becoming a bit of an issue. And so then, like, you can see him now. It's like when, you know, the pile of shite in your bedroom, that pile on the chair just grows so enormous that you know you finally have to action it.
Yeah.
This is exactly Dennis and the floorboard bodies. It was like, until the fucking hell plague of flies was literally just like, I presume he was just sitting at night drinking his lager and just like covered in flies, that he was like, okay.
Fine.
And then he'd get them up, get the lads up. They'd usually be like in a fucking shit state by then, having just been parceled
through his house. That's like wheelie bin juice getting through your house.
Oh, I mean, Jesus. And he'd get them up anyway, and he'd like dismember them, and like he had this whole big palaver. Like, remember now though, the old catering college, very, very useful at this point, because he had a whole man to butcher. So he'd get, sorry, hit the mic. He'd take all the internal organs out, and he'd put them aside in a bag, and he had a couple of methods for getting rid of them. Each one as bonkers as the last. One was that he just put the bag over the back fence and just let the little kind of
rats and
creepy kind of creatures of the night take care of it.
Well, that is a legit method. I mean, it's not
until they drag an intestine into a fucking neighbor's garden, yeah, and you're like, well, this is like, about 9 feet of guts. What the fuck? His other thing that he'd do is he had a little dog called Bleep.
Oh, of course no.
He did. No. Bleep, apparently, no, I know what you're thinking, Cassie. Bleep showed no interest in the corpses.
Okay, thank you.
Bleep was a man of taste. Bleep was like, this no, is Dennis.
Disgusting.
Listen,
Dennis.
Like, I didn't want to say before now, but this has gone too far. Dennis, would you look at yourself, please, Dennis? So anyway, he used to take Bleep for the dog's walks, and he'd bring little bags of, I've seen it described as viscera, because it's like decomposed rotting organs,
oh,
flesh stuff, just stuff.
Gloop.
Oh, and he'd bring it around on a walk and kind of just sort of slightly
it off into a bush,
trail it out. I mean, I'm picturing it like maybe a little mechanism where it was like coming out the trouser leg, and he'd kind of shake it along, shake it here, shake it there. Apparently, at one point in these 5 years, because now remember, Dennis really fairly fucking pissed all the time to kind of cope with what he was doing, because he loved the first section where he was cuddling the corpse, yeah, and jizzing around the place, having a ball and having nice quiet companionship. As they say, there is nothing like having a friend that you can just be silent with, and you can just have that comfortable silence. And that's all he wanted. So once, but like, this was them now outstaying their welcome.
Right.
And him having to fucking deal with the fucking
detritus.
Yeah. The house creeping, basically. Yeah. Maximum house creeping.
Oh.
So he said, like, one time in like a complete blackout, fucking drunken haze, he brought Bleep for the walk, kind of forgot what he was about, and he didn't kind of carefully sort of trail out the viscera, but just fucking accidentally left a bag of guts. Like, I'm picturing a Tesco bag of guts just out by a park. And it was actually found by a walker who brought it to the police, being like, this looks like a bag of guts. And the police apparently just were like, oh, couldn't be, and just totally dismissed it.
Oh my God. But also, when this was days pre-DNA, like,
oh, completely,
they didn't give a shit. They were, oh, like, what are we going to do with this bag of guts unless it's got a name on it? Nothing we can do.
Yeah, and they just put it in the bin, and it would have been covered in this guy's fingerprints, blah, 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 blah. And like, so anyway, then he'd have like all the like rest of it, like the heads, the things. Oh, he had this whole big thing, this kind of bloody Nigella Lawson fucking take on the heads, where he'd like boil them over the stove, get a kind of a bone broth going on the stove with the
then
heads.
Just 2 hour, 2.5 hour slow roast in the oven, in a Dutch oven.
Just, yeah, Dutch oven it there, the kind of wrap it in some baking paper. Oh my God, I'm just picturing like those roast cauliflowers that like people are always trying to claim are as good as steak, you know, those where they whole roast it and then put it into slices.
They call them fillets.
I mean, they guys, were delicious.
Guys. I mean, it's tasty, but let's not pretend it's a steak.
Not 20 euros.
So anyway, then, like, so sometimes what he'd be kind of, because, like, say this is a 5-year period and he's murdering, like, pretty much about 15 people total, I think we can take. So if you kind of, like, do some maths, which I'm bad at, but, like, what we're talking about, maybe 3 people a year.
Yeah.
Like, take it, he's in the kind of cuddle mode for about a week with them, and then the whole rest of the time is being like, oh god, I have to do that, oh, I have to get your man up from the floorboards. So often you kind of, like, actually stockpile, like, a few lads at a time and kind of, like, just sort of do a job lot.
Yeah.
And, like, also, like, so, it was so, like, sometimes,
and nobody was complaining.
Well, I was about to say, sometimes the fucking reek of his apartment and the flies and fucking all the just fucking gross fog that was emanating from that gas would get the neighbors down. They'd be like, Dennis, what are you fucking boiling rotting socks in there? And so sometimes he'd even literally just be like, oh, knock on the door, and he'd, like, just put the guy in the cupboard under the sink, just fold up the and then hop to the door. Oh, yeah. I'm just making one of those whole roast cauliflowers I saw in Jamie Oliver, and close the door, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he was now the odd time he was reported to the police for different things, because he had the odd kind of, like, you know, boo-boo where he'd kind of, like, sort of half strangle a guy, and then he'd obviously have a bit of a change of heart. And then the guy, like, even one time he kind of did the choking, brought the guy to the bathtub, kind of started with the thing, the drowning bit, and then he was kind of like, oh, I'm not
interested in a second date.
I just actually don't know if I want to spend any more time with this guy.
I'm not ready for the commitment.
I'm just not ready for the next step. And then he'd resuscitate him and be like, oh, you were dreaming. And, like, you know, that didn't go over that well. So sometimes,
where especially I'd say you'd have, like, raw red marks on
your
neck.
Literally, one of the, like, near victims, one of the guys who got away, went to an emergency room a day later, and the doctor was like, I'm sorry to say, but it looks like you've been viciously strangled. And the guy went to the police, was like, think I've been viciously strangled, this is where it happened, this is the man who did it. The police, like, were like, Dennis,
I think you've been dreaming.
Dennis, like, I think he was dreaming. And the police were like, oh, what? And like, because there was no kind of, like, computer databases and stuff like that, it wasn't even kind of like his name was coming up. That's a few times.
But
it's
the 70s. There must have been some
Seems like it was a bloody free for all. Hello, bag of guts. Couldn't be. Pop it in the bin. So anyway, he would then, like, so he'd still have loads of bones and all kinds of crap to be getting rid of. And, like, so he'd often do kind of, like, sort of his, like, biannual bonfires in the back garden, where he would build, like, a pyre with, like, 5 foot high, and he'd build it in the middle of the night. So he'd put the bodies and or what remained of them, and it would be just completely dismembered, fucking torsos and shit, on the fire, build up the pyre, and then stick a tire over the top, which very much reminds me of Casey Anthony and putting the rotten bag of pizza in the boot.
Yeah.
Oh, but it was basically so that the smell would be masked by the tire burning. And then he would sit in his garden for the day, make a day of it, sit out, enjoy the fire, just blasting, no joke, the fucking Exorcist theme, sitting on his deck chair, fucking off his tits, I'd say, drinking away. No shade to heavy drinkers, but Dennis wasn't being, you know, not a great guy.
Suspected.
Well, like, the neighbors were definitely like,
I guess the police have been round. So I from a neighbor's perspective, you're like, ah, the police are in and out.
Yeah. So anyway, he did finally, the landlord actually decided that he wanted to renovate the apartment that he lived in, the flat, the wonderful garden level flat. And so he got into a whole dispute with the landlord, because he didn't want to move, clearly, because he had his whole perfect setup. Had his whole little routine. Mm. And so anyway, the landlord ended up paying him off with, like, $1,000, which would be plenty in today's money. And so he kind of, like, with a heavy heart, left behind his lovely garden level flat and moved to 23 Cranley Gardens, which had a very different setup. No longer the room to improve dreams.
Did he leave anything behind? Like, body-wise?
I know, he did a fairly good sort of whip round. Checked all the floorboards.
Gone.
headed off to Cranley Gardens, where he now very sadly had no access to a garden.
Oh,
oh yeah. Scuppers and he was plants. In the attic flat, so there was no bloody floorboard storage.
Like right here.
Yeah. So like, what, it would be definitely really dodgy to try and store bodies under the floor of an attic. Well, they're just dripping
through the
ceiling.
Therefore,
in the ceiling above the next flat down, exactly. And so for about 2 months, he was like really at odds. He was really kind of felt a bit paralyzed by his new setup, didn't know what to be doing. And then he, just compulsive. Like he just couldn't, I think, even conceive of like, he just didn't have any other life now except for this deranged routine. And so he did carry on luring men and doing the exact same routine, except that he just didn't have any decent way of disposing of his friends after he was done with them, his lovers. And so he came up with some very ad hoc solutions in what's it called, Cranley Gardens. One of which was he was still dismembering the bodies, and then he was sort of attempting to dispose of all the flesh and the kind of smaller bits and bobs by, I mean, I'm trying to think of the chef term, not julienning, but like, you know, kind of mincing them with his chef's knife. So he's got really tiny, like 2 centimeter pieces.
Like a human tartare.
Uh-huh. And then flushing it down the toilet.
Oh, Jesus.
I feel like that's the most obvious thing to do. That's, I would go straight there.
Well, look, I don't know. Have you ever flushed wet wipes down the toilet? Look, those fucking ancient as well plumbing systems in English houses in the 70s
are just going to get chock-a-block.
Fucking, like, for example, there used to be this thing called a muncher. Have you ever heard of a muncher?
No.
So basically, because the pipes in some old buildings are so narrow that they're nothing like modern plumbing pipes. They're only like centimeters across. So they, after they started fitting, like, you know, upgrading plumbing systems and stuff like that, instead of changing out all the pipes because they were too lazy, they got a device called a muncher that literally munched crap as it entered the pipes.
To make it smaller to get down
those things. So like, I just don't think any muncher could contend with the bodies of full grown men.
Fine.
And so anyway, it led to a terrible smell at the property because the drains at Cranley Gardens got backed up. And then in 1983... as the smell of death was hanging around Cranley Gardens because of these overflowing backed up drains, Dennis himself wrote a letter of complaint to the estate agents, complaining that the drains were blocked, but at no point being like, this mightn't be the best idea.
No point was like, best not draw
attention.
I feel
like that's a good cover up though.
Well, a double bluff.
Just actually call them themselves.
Yeah.
So then, right, this is like such a coup for the Dino Rod company. Dino Rod still going strong in 2020. In 1983, a Dino Rod employee called Michael Catron was dispatched to check out what was going on at the drains at Cranley Gardens. He opened a drain cover at the side of the house and discovered that the drain was packed with a flesh-like substance and numerous small bones of unknown origin. I mean, you can picture the reek. And like, you know, when something's rotting, it's dead, but it's coming alive.
Yeah.
Bubbling, I'd say. Mm. Oh. And then like, fucking Dennis and some neighbor called Jim came over to have a chat with the plumber to discuss the sort of source of the substance. And when Dennis heard the plumber exclaim how similar the substance was in appearance to human flesh, Dennis, scrambling, went, well, it looks like to me like somebody's been flushing down their Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, great cover.
Great cover. I think that Dennis even went immediately after the plumber left to purchase some Kentucky Fried Chicken to flush to try and corroborate.
But that would just be sitting at the very...
Why, here's a full drumstick. What a waste.
What a waste. I'll take care of this. I'm Dennis the Muncher. And so anyway, like the plumber went to the police and was like, look, I'm a plumber. You know, I've seen a lot of shit. I know shit. And this ain't shit. I don't know if that was a direct quote.
I'd say so.
But I heard them say that on last podcast on the left. And I don't know whether they got it from an actual source. But I was like, that's
that.
A good line. Every plumber needs that line. Anyway, they also basically, upon human inspection, just found a hand. Oh, I think Dennis was just like literally floning it in by then and be like, oh, I'll just pop your whole hand down here. And so anyway, they the police were interested in the Janes, clearly, as were a lot of health inspectors. And the plumber directed the police to, you know, Jim and Dennis, two of the neighbours who had already met. So the police went up to chat to them more. And when the three police officers came to Dennis's flat, they immediately noted the odour of
death,
decomposition, rotting flesh. Dennis said, queried further as to why the police were interested in his drains. And the police said, well, it's because they're full of human remains. Dennis feigned shock and bewilderment, stating, good grief, how awful. In response, I think he'd lost his Scottish accent, by the way. I think he'd be down in England for a good while. Like, and good grief, how awful. And what did the police said, don't mess about, where's the rest of the body? To which Dennis responded calmly, in the cupboard. Just the fight had left him. Oh. It had all gotten on top of him by then. He was arrested and cautioned on suspicion of murder. He just was being escorted to the police station when one of the police officers asked if the remains belonged in the flat and in the drains belonged to one person or two. Staring out of the window of the police car, he replied, 15 or 16. Since 1978.
Wow, so he just admitted
to everything. He just was like,
hands up, I'm padded
up. I'm done. You know when you start a job, like if you're cleaning out a room in your house and you get to that point where it's actually worse before it can get better?
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the midst of that for years, only it was decomposing human flesh.
I'd say it was a relief to just...
It's just a relief. And also, now that last of the cleanup, somebody else's... job.
Someone else's problem.
Yeah.
And what became of Dennis?
Dennis TG went to prison. He said if he was asked about whether he had any remorse, and he said that he did wish he could stop, but he couldn't. And he said that he had no other thrill or happiness, but emphasized that he took no pleasure from the act of killing, but he loved palling around with the corpses. He just loved it. And they did obviously try to plead insanity, but it was all pretty damning. And I'm sorry, I'm just trying to remember whether he was put... Yeah, sorry, he did go to prison, not an asylum or a hospital or anything like that. Went to prison. He was swiftly stabbed in the face upon arriving in prison.
Oh my God.
Recovered. And he actually died only 2 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that's...
After a quick Google, I'm excitedly awaiting the ITV drama starring David Tennant.
Shut up! Oh my God, sorry. David Tennant is exactly who I see for that role. Plus, I'm sorry I screamed and Sarah's wearing headphones. Sometimes you just get really excited when they really fucking nail the casting though. And that's so it. I can't believe they're making a drama. Oh God, I really need to stop being so excited.
I tell you
who
died, happy.
Sophie, and it's fucking awful.
It is, because the families are not happy.
No, Jesus.
But anyway, it is going to be a great series, I'm sure.
Oh, I mean...
Very.
I don't know how they're going to treat this, because do you know the way, like...
He's the perfect person for it.
Well, looking at David
pictures
Tennant,
of
perfect
Dennis.
Person. Yeah, versus, they look alike.
Sorry, here. Look
they look really alike. And also, do you remember we watched that episode of what was that show we watched when we were in Acol, yeah, where David Tennant was the villain and he did it really well?
Cannot remember. But
Jessica,
was,
Jessica Mars? No,
it was like a short, different stories every week.
Yeah,
unrelating to each other, all kind of all around this guy who was the detective on all of the cases. Am I right?
No, he was the prosecutor. Sorry, he was the suspect in the first episode. It was a criminal or crime or interview.
Yeah,
every episode is just the interrogation. I think it was just one word like that.
He was brilliant.
He was brilliant.
You're
in
right. That
and they did
recalls.
Loads of different versions. They did a UK version and a French version and stuff. Yeah,
but like,
but he does also play a villain in that. Jessica,
I can't. What are you? Is it a
series? Are you made that kind of superhero one, Jessica Jones?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's so good. That's gonna be amazing.
I think that's gonna be incredible. But you're right. I really hope that they do a good job, because like, have you ever like, okay, probably not everyone is as like steeped in Jeffrey Dahmer as I am, but like, have you ever seen the movie where Jeremy Renner plays Jeffrey Dahmer? And like, it's the type of thing where like, it's a kind of a portrait of a sort of. It's obviously a portrait of a monster, but also like, there's some stuff that these guys do that like, it would be gratuitous to put it in a film. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you have to like hint at the kind of, I think it's
depravity.
Yeah, like, because to show it, I don't know, like, if it would it be effective. Like, do you know the way with the Bundy film that Zac Efron plays him in? Like, there's hardly any real
detail on the
violence in that, and like, it's only the final scene where they are where she goes to visit him in prison years later, the partner, the girlfriend, and is like asking him very specifically about what had happened to one of the victim's heads. Do you remember this? Have you
I never watched it. Recommend?
It's like, I could talk about it for a while, because it's not really, it's really hard to stomach, because he's really given the kind of like superstar treatment. He's like almost like a sort of a Jagger figure of kind of like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, you do kind of, I do find it like difficult for that reason. Mm. But like, it is a really good performance by Zac Efron, I think. And this part was very effective. So basically he's like on the other side of the prison glass and she's like, what did you do with her head? What happened to her head? Blah, blah, blah. And he's on the other side of the glass. And there is this soundtrack of like just sawing, playing. But it's subtle enough. But then he starts to write. There's like a fog of condensation on the glass between them. And he just doesn't say anything. And he basically writes out hacksaw with his finger. And it just like comes together with the sound of the sawing and the vision of like Zac Efron being kind of quote unquote hot Bundy.
Yeah.
And that does kind of, it does make a kind of a, it is a really good payoff in a way, because it kind of makes you think about the treatment of these monsters and how...
Yeah.
Like, everyone's so fixated on his charisma.
Yeah, I think it was just there. Like, Bundy still has a plethora of fans and or stans who like.
Yeah, these women marry them when they're incarcerated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That woman had a baby with him when he was going through his prosecution in Florida. Like, the fucking Gainesville Ripper's married. They all get married after the fact. It's bananas. BTK got married in prison. Dennis didn't.
Unacceptable.
I think what Dennis was looking for in a partner was untenable.
Well, it was tenable.
Mm.
He's looking for a reflection of himself to work off.
Yeah. That was he should have just stayed in the mirror.
Stay in the mirror.
That was magnificent. And I can't wait. I can't. It's funny that it's not a, you know, popular. People don't speak of this guy much. I'd never heard of him before.
Yeah, same.
It's just so gruesome, I guess, and so horrifying.
Well, thank you.
There's lots more. He wrote a memoir in prison.
He did.
Called Diary of a Drowning Boy.
Oh.
Which I'm sure is tiresome. Sarah said it all there. She just rolled her eyes and scoffed. Nobody published it, TG. Great man for the poetry. Bit of a goth.
Oh, right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank beautiful hive. We love you.
We truly appreciate you guys so much.
You'll be
helping us make the Creep Dive our full-time careers. which would be an exciting. Imagine if that happened.
Why wouldn't it?
Well, we're working hard.
We have to break America.
Really,
if anyone knows
America.
Anyone in America,
send them this podcast.
See you next week. Oh, thank you. Oh, Sarah's a
Bye.
Bye.